You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome back to William Hill's US Sports Podcast. The NFL preseason is officially underway. We're going to be taking a look at the wide array of markets that we've got anteposed ahead of the new NFL season. We'll also be chatting MLB as well, because the postseason picture is getting a little bit clearer. We've got one or two clear favourites beginning to emerge in the World Series betting as well. So we'll talk baseball a little bit later on, but it'll be NFL chat for the first portion of the podcast. Sam Norris here, and once again rejoining me from the William Hill Trading Room is Stephen Back. How are you, Stephen?
Very, very good. A warm welcome indeed. It's warm, a warm summer finally.
Yes, it's been a bit up and down, the weather, throughout the course of this summer. But as we record this podcast, we're warm enough.
Very warm.
Yeah, indeed. As I say, NFL preseason got underway last night. We're recording this Friday afternoon. We saw the first batch of games sort of midnight Thursday going in to Friday. And we're going to take a bit of a look at some of the betting first. But before we do, there's already some preseason stories beginning to emerge. It was great to see Christian Wade take it to the house for a 65-yard touchdown last night in his first touch as an NFL player, obviously having made the move from rugby union. There's obviously plenty of interest domestically in his progress out in the States, and he couldn't really have asked for a much better start last night as he tries to make that 53-man cut for the Bills.
Exactly. Well, if you want to make an impact straight off the bat and make people know who you are, that's the way to do it. Showing them, well, obviously, that you can make that transition from rugby union to the NFL. I mean, he was a great star over here and should have had probably more England honours, but that's another argument for another day. But he's made the move, and let's hope he makes the final roster.
Mm, yeah, definitely so. That would be great to see. Obviously, pre-season is going to continue for a little while, but the main rosters are largely set, or certainly we know who are going to be the sort of stars for each team. So let's get stuck into the betting. Firstly, for this year's Super Bowl, the New England Patriots are 7-1. 8-1 for the Kansas City Chiefs, 9-1 for the LA Rams, 10-1 for the New Orleans Saints. The Indianapolis Colts are 14-1 with the Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles, 16-1 the Green Bay Packers and the LA Chargers and the Bears. It's 20-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. A nice wide open look to the Super Bowl betting, and with the draft system the way it is in American sports, this is how anti-post markets are supposed to look. They don't always, because as we know, we have dynasties that are built up over years, but this is a nice open look to it, certainly from a betting perspective. I guess we've got to start with the Patriots at 7-1. People have tried to write them off a couple of times. I tried to write them off last season, but I think almost everyone has learned now that you do not write them off ever. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you can see why they're favourites again, even though, you know, once again, you can point to a couple of reasons why you would want to be against them, but just a team that no one wants to lay them.
I don't know if it's a case of no one wants to lay them because it's Patriots hatred, or it's just they just want a new team to cheer on.
Yes.
The resounding feeling around my office and all the boys is that they all hate the Patriots.
They're like Manchester United, aren't they? You know, people just, well, love to hate them.
You love to hate them, but at the moment Manchester United aren't doing well.
That's true.
Whereas the Patriots just keep doing well. That's the issue. It's just like the sure bet for years has been Patriots each way for the AFC Championship game, because they always get there. But obviously they're looking a bit different now. Brady's another year older. We keep saying his father time finally going to catch up with him. He still hasn't yet. You read all the pundits over in America, they say he will decline this season. It's like, well, I'll wait till I see it. There's no Gronk for now. Whether he comes back at the end of the season and makes a magic return and we see that infectious smile and laughing attitude, we don't know. I'd like to see it, because I just like watching Gronk as a player and as a person. But you can't write them off. It's Belichick's system is tried, tested, and the fact that they're the best duo of all time, basically, in the NFL.
Yeah, and they absolutely have to be favourites. Kansas City Chiefs, of course, are second in an 8-1, made it to the AFC Championship game last year, lost to the Patriots. They're obviously led by Patrick Mahomes, who's favourite for MVP this year. We'll get onto the MVP betting a little bit later on. And they, of course, have to be taken very, very seriously this year, led by Mahomes.
They do. I mean, there was a few injury worries early on for Tyreek Hill when I'm not sure it was an ankle injury or foot injury he had when they were having practices and OTAs before the first preseason game. But they just, again, the issue for them is, and everything I heard was, and I've listened to, is their offense is going to be all powerful again. It was last season. It's can their defense and can their management of game situations under the coach be a little bit better? And arguably that was what let them down against the Patriots last season.
Yep.
If their defense is a little bit better, because it was 31st out of 32 last year, so if, even if they have an average defense, could they topple the Patriots if they play them again? They do play each other, I think it's week 12 or 14, again in New England, so we'll see the rematch at some point during the year, and that might be a precursor if these two get off to a good start.
And the only other team at a single-figure price are obviously last year's beaten Super Bowl finalists, the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, things didn't go to plan for them in the Super Bowl. It wasn't a Super Bowl that was full of fireworks and explosive scoring. But the Rams will be disappointed nonetheless. And I suppose that the big issue they've got now is Todd Gurley and his well-being. We saw him play a very limited number of snaps during the Super Bowl itself. I think CJ Anderson was on the field for more snaps, which, regardless of what the LA Rams said about his fitness, we know that something clearly wasn't right for the number of snaps that he played. And, you know, there's talk of arthritis in the knee. Basically, everyone's treating the Rams, I think, with trepidation. When it comes to doing your fantasy draft, I think you'd be taking a big risk with Todd Gurley. And he's such a vital player to the Rams. So they're a funny team to price up this year.
Exactly. I mean, arguably, they've got the best, well, as all the NFL have done their player rankings, they've got the best player in Aaron Donald on defense, and he is a monster. We'll get on to him a little bit later as well. But that offense, I mean, do you trust Jared Goff to run a Super Bowl winning team? I don't know. Is Todd Gurley going to be anywhere near what we saw the first half of last season?
Yep.
I highly doubt it. If he's got arthritic left knee, I can't remember which one it is, but either way, if you've got an arthritic knee, it's not something that you can just click your fingers.
Yeah.
It's going to be a day-to-day basis. He might have a game where he just goes off and he's amazing, and then he'll feel it for the next 3-4 weeks, and he'll be sitting on the sidelines, either not doing anything or watching, because I'm pretty sure they've re-signed CJ Anderson as well for this season, watching him take all the snaps. So I think, like you said, they're a very hard team to price up. If it was my money, I wouldn't say that they're a lock to even get to the AFC, the NFC Championship game. I'd be looking elsewhere. But for now that we haven't seen a snap of regular season football, they are the price they are. We'll see what happens in a few weeks' time after the preseason.
Even coming through that NFC Championship game last year, obviously it was a game that was shrouded in controversy. And the New Orleans Saints, who are obviously beating that, are in the betting at 10-1. And those are some of the main protagonists, obviously, and we could discuss the Saints. But I want to get on to your pick, Stephen. You've gone for one at a slightly bigger price this year.
Yeah, well, if you're looking outside the Patriots, the team that sort of, there's two teams that I'd gravitate. One, if you're going for an AFC team, the Colts are the ones that sort of people, when I talk to everyone in our office, we all get that feeling of, as much as we don't like it because there's someone who drones on about the Colts constantly, they just have that look about them. Andrew Luck is looking back to his old self. That shoulder's working. I mean, he was slinging it like mad last year. He had great numbers. And they nearly got there. They got to the playoffs. And they've brought back the same core of players. And they've improved slightly on defense, improved slightly on offense. So we think that they're a good shout at 14-1. At the AFC, and they could finally topple the Pats dynasty, of which then the other team that I fancy is the Bears.
Okay, and 16s.
Basically all on their defense, because they, you know, powered by Khalil Mack, they had a great defense last year. It's, do you trust Trubisky? Is he going to take that next step on offense, or is he going to be running around like a headless chicken like he did a lot of times last year, and it didn't quite work? Because they have the pieces. It's Do you think that Trubisky can lead them on offense to a championship? But at 16-1, I think that's a nice price.
I like the Browns this year at 14-1. A similar-ish kind of viewpoint to to yourself in terms of looking at an AFC team, looking at potentially trying to finally topple the Patriots? I was very impressed with Baker Mayfield last year. I think another year on, he's going to be impressive. I think Odell Beckham is a huge addition for the Browns. I think his numbers were incredible, having to play with that, you know, Giants O-line, which wasn't particularly good. Eli Manning has been regressive for years, and he's still churned out decent output, Odell Beckham. Obviously, he's a little bit of a character. He's a little bit of a diva. You know, whether he's a fantastic leader of men or not, I'm not just sure. But I think him with Baker Mayfield this year, I'm really excited to see that. They've got Jarvis Landry as well, so it's not as if the defense are going to absolutely swamp Odell Beckham and there's nobody else to throw to. I think they've got a good run game. Was really impressed with Nick Chubb toward the back end of last season. They've obviously added Kareem Hunt. They won't have him for the start of the season. Is it a six-game suspension he's looking at?
Well, it's a six-game suspension once he gets reinstated. So right. He still has yet to be reinstated by the league. So who knows if he'll even play this season, because it's up to the Angel of Goodell for whenever he decides to reinstate them all, reinstate him as his playing status. And then after that point, that's when his suspension starts. So, you said, they've got the weapons. They definitely have the weapons. They've got Njoku at tight end as well, who was very good at the end of last season. So offensively, they have got all the pieces that you'd want. It's the question for me is, can they all harmonize, fit together? Will Odell be the diva that he is? Yes. If he's not getting enough touches, is he going to start whining off to the media? I suppose he's not in New York now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have the same platform as what he did, because Cleveland is not the same market as New York. No. So it's an interesting pick. It's definitely worth a punt.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. The talent's there, but there is a question about whether it all comes together, whether they've got the nous to navigate their way through. I think their price now is fair as well. I don't think they're spectacularly overpriced or anything like that. I don't think, wow, they're 14-1 and they should be shorter. I think 14-1 is a fair price for them without being huge value, or nor do I think they're underpriced.
I think in terms of, if you're looking in terms of my pick, the Colts and the Browns, if you were looking at it, I think the Browns, depends which way you want to look at it, but I think the Colts are a better team than the Browns. So to have them both at 14-1, you're either finding value in the Colts, if you look at it that way, or you think the Browns are too short if you're looking at it the other way. So it depends how you view the teams, but like you say, two outside the Patriots and the Chiefs are good bets, I think.
Yes, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Browns and the Colts now as well. I want to move on to some of the divisional markets. There's loads of stuff priced up ahead of the NFL season on the William Hill website, by the way. Well worth taking a look. Of course, got all the Super Bowl betting there that we mentioned. The conference betting, which we'll come to after the divisional winners. Not only can you back the divisional winner, you can choose a team to finish second, third or fourth in the division as well. We've got Defensive Player of the Year already priced up, Rookie of the Year, both offensive and defensive. The regular season MVP is priced up. There's loads of player props there. So there really is loads and loads to go at. We're just going to focus in on a few of the markets, starting with the divisional winners. And our two picks there, we start in the AFC North. Obviously, I like the Browns to potentially go all the way this year. They're 5-4 to win the AFC North. The Steelers are 7-4, the Ravens 14-5, and the Bengals are 20-1. Much as I think Browns are, you know, a decent punt to win the Super Bowl, this is my favourite bet to win the division. I actually view the Ravens as a bigger danger to them than the Steelers. Big Ben's another year older this year. I know Le'Veon Bell didn't play last year, and James Conner was a very able deputy, so they're okay in that respect. But Bell's obviously departed. Antonio Brown's departed. And as I say, Roethlisberger, he, almost in a similar vein to Tom Brady, keeps kind of surprising me every year. I think he's going to have a bad year this year. He's going to regress. But he is another year older regardless. I don't think the Bengals are a runner at all in this division. So for me, the Browns are a great bet to win the AFC North. The Ravens, as I say, are a bit of a danger. Can Lamar Jackson throw the ball enough? Is he going to have a good enough arm? Is the passing assets of their game going to be good enough for the Ravens? This is my favourite divisional winner bet, bar none. Who do you like in this division?
I'm picking the Steelers, personally. I think you remove the drama of Le'Veon Bell that hung over them all last season. You remove the drama of Antonio Brown and his frostbitten feet.
That looked painful, that. And really stupid.
Yeah, so for anyone who hasn't seen the news, so Antonio Brown, obviously, he got this trade out. He went to the Raiders. And when he was over in, he was in Paris having some cryotherapy, but he wasn't wearing the proper protective footwear.
Which you're told to wear.
Which you're told to wear. As a result, he has got a level of frostbite on the bottom of his feet. If you've seen the pictures, they're not very appetizing, so I wouldn't recommend looking at it as you're about to eat your dinner or your lunch whenever you're listening to this. But it's not a great move. But either way, back to the Steelers. They've removed all the drama from last season. They've re-upped Mike Tomlin as well, the coach.
Yep.
So I think they're going to go back to the formula that's got them in the playoffs for so many years, won them two Super Bowls. I think that they've got a chance. And like you said, this is a wide-open division. It's not a one-horse race unlike some of the others where you've got three teams, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Browns. And I think based on the Steelers' experience and Juju Schuster, I think will take another step up this season. They've got James Conner as well, who I think he'll have a lot more freedom as well this year. He doesn't have that cloud of, is Le'Veon Bell going to come back and take my place? He is the number one running back now. So I think the Steelers are the pick in the AFC North for me anyway.
You can acquire all these divisional winners up, by the way. So I'm with the Browns, you're with the Steelers. The AFC South then, the Colts are even money for this. The Texans 9-4, the Jags are 7-2, and the Tennessee Titans are 13-2. I'm guessing you'll be with the Colts here.
Yep, all in. All in. If I'm picking the Colts as the winners of the Super Bowl, I can't say they're not going to win the AFC South, really.
No.
I mean, the Titans, I don't think they're going to do much. Same with the Jags. Texans could get a bit interesting, maybe run them a couple of games, within a couple of games, but I think it's the Colts to lose this division.
I think I would agree with you there, and the Texans are the only kind of danger. DeAndre Hopkins is always a threat, but I didn't really think Deshaun Watson progressed last year as we quite expected him to. Obviously, he had that horrible injury, and it's always hard to get back on track after that, but I thought we'd see a little bit more from Deshaun Watson last year.
Yeah, but then as the other than really, so JJ Watt missed a lot of time as well last year on their anchor of their defense. So it wasn't the easiest year for them. Obviously, they got to the playoffs and beat the. I'm getting confused. Didn't they beat the Colts in the wild card game last season? I'm sure they beat the Colts in the wild card game last season. So they made steps. So they've got a chance, but I just think the Colts are just the better team in that division. Sorry, it was the other way around.
So the
Colts
beat them,
the Texans. So in that case, you've got a precursor.
That's even better for,
even better for my argument than saying that the Colts are going to be the better side. They beat them in the playoffs last season. They're going to beat them in the division race this season. There you go. There's all the ammo you need.
Yes. On to what has historically been one of the least competitive divisions to bet on, and it is again this year, I suppose, looking at the prices. New England Patriots 1-6 for the AFC East. The Jets are 6-1. The Bills are 12-1. The Dolphins are 33-1. I mean, the betting tells a story there. I think the Jets are probably closer to the Patriots than they have been, but they're still not really close enough to actually win the division.
I'd say your better bet for this division is if you want to look on what we priced up for second and third. Because let's be honest, it's the AFC Patriots, this division. That's all it is. It's all it ever is. They're 6-1. And I just think they're just too good. I mean, to finish second, the Jets are 11-10.
I don't think that's too bad. I thought they might be odds on in that market.
That's a good bet. If you want the Jets to finish second in division, are 11-10, of which it is obviously the Patriots are going to win this division unless something horrific happens and it all falls apart. Unless you fancy Fitzmagic to do his thing again this season, the Dolphins are probably going to have a poor year.
You just can't see the consistency, can you? Which has always been the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's always been his problem throughout his career. He'll have those stretches like he did to start last season when he was unbelievable. And for anyone who does a last man stands at their work or their office, he broke the hearts of about 75% of our company. Who all bet the Saints week one, and he ruined that.
Yes.
Luckily, I didn't have any money on that last year. But I'd say, go with the Patriots. And then to finish second division, 11-10 for the Jets is a very good bet.
I think that's a really good bet as well. Obviously, they've added Le'Veon Bell. Sam Darnold looked to get things together toward the back end of last season. He had a horrible start to his NFL career. He threw a pick with his very first... off his very first throw, but it got better after that. So I think the Jets finishing second in that, it is a good bet at 11-10. On to the AFC West then, not quite as short price favourites, but we've still got odds on chances in this. Kansas City 4-6, the Chargers are 7-4, Denver are 12-1, the Oakland Raiders are 14-1. Obviously plenty will expect the Chiefs to be winning this at 4-6. I expect them to win this as well at 4-6, but I know the Chargers have been a popular wager this year.
They have been a popular wager, but I think that they're going to regress, personally. I think Philip Rivers had an amazing year last year, and it almost seemed like a bit of an outlier for how well he's done in previous years in terms of team success in his own. And I don't think he'll be able to replicate that and propel them as well. So I can't remember. Have they got over the issues with Melvin Gordon as well at running back?
Yeah.
They've had those issues. So I think the Chiefs at 4-6 are a good price, to be honest. I think they've got the chance to run away with this division. So it's an odds-on price, but I think it's a good price at 4-6.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree with that, I think. Chiefs would go into my accumulator as well. Onto another one of the real competitive divisions, which is the NFC North. And again, a division where you've got three live chances here. The Chicago Bears are 6-4. The Green Bay Packers are 2-1. The Minnesota Vikings are 9-4. The Lions are 12-1. Doesn't look as though they'll be winning the division this year. Obviously, you mentioned the Bears a little bit earlier on as a potential Super Bowl chance. I think they're a touch short to win the division. My pick here would be the Vikings. It's a little bit of a price play. They're the outsider of the three, and it's three teams that you could make similar cases for. They may be lacking a little bit in the run game, but they've got, you know, arguably in Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, two of the premier wide receivers in the NFL. Their defense has been solid over the last few years. It's probably not quite as good as it was maybe 2-3 years ago, but I think as a price play, the Vikings would be the one for me in this division at 9-4. I'm guessing you're going to make the case for the Bears.
I'm making the case for the Bears. I do agree with you in the fact that if you want to go for the outsider, the Vikings is a better bet than the Packers. The issue, again, for the Vikings, it's the same issue that you have for the Bears, is Kirk Cousins good enough?
Yeah.
And they obviously had, my mind's gone completely blank, who they traded for, traded away to the Broncos.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum, yeah. Excuse me. And it's basically sort of 1B to 1A. It's not much of an improvement. He's never really excelled. He's never gone past that sort of first round stage, even with the Redskins. And I think that's the issue that's sort of thrusting me more toward the Bears. Their defense is what's going to be the hallmark of them. Trubisky, I think if he can take that next step or even just make slight improvements on what he did last year, I think that they're a good bet at 6-4 to win the division. The Packers, neither of us are sold on the Packers, let's be honest.
No, you know, outside of Aaron Rodgers,
he has no weapons.
Yeah,
he's got Devontae Adams.
Yeah, there's not loads that really attracts me to them. I'd have Vikings and Packers the other way around myself if I was trading it.
That's I'd be inclined to do the same, but I think it's the allure of Aaron Rodgers that's...
Yes.
Obviously, he's got a new coach this year after all the drama of last year, and whether... I suppose it's ongoing drama of whether you think that Aaron Rodgers is not just a diva himself and the fact that he does things his own way. He apparently didn't get on with McCarthy for years. And if he's a coach killer, really. But I don't think he's got enough weapons. Obviously, he's got an older Jimmy Graham at tight end. If it was the younger one,
yeah,
maybe. But outside of Devontae Adams, he's not really got a lot of weapons to throw to. The Bears, to me, 6-4, but... If you want to have a look as well for another bet, if not, we were saying about to finish second in division, the Vikings will be a good price for that as well. So where are we?
2-1 to finish.
To finish second in division. I think that's more than a bet.
Yeah, I mean they're 9-4 to win the whole thing. So yeah.
Well, for me, obviously if you're heeding my advice and you think the Bears are going to win it and the Vikings are going to come second, that's your bet. But if you're heeding Sam's advice, 9-4 is the play. May well be a price play, but
yeah,
it's a good play nonetheless.
And then to be fair, I think the Vikings have got a chance of winning it, so I'd therefore be interested in the Bears to finish second at 9-4. That would interest me as well. Yeah. And we also learned this summer that Aaron Rodgers not great at chugging beers. Great at a lot of things, but that wasn't a very good
effort. You leave that to the big burly men who block for you, don't you?
Exactly.
Leave the beer chugging to that. Although Baker Mayfield made a good effort shotgunning the beer at the Indians game.
And Matt Stafford's attempt was quite good.
I haven't seen that one. I saw...
He's at like a restaurant with his family or something, Matt Stafford. Like he isn't on the big screen at like another sports game. So no. I don't know if it's just purely to needle Aaron Rodgers.
I think it was just... I think Baker Mayfield's won it all when he's... With the moustache as well.
Yeah.
The moustache look. He's wearing a Francisco Lindor Indians jersey. He's just having a beer and then just someone throws him one, bites it, shotguns it. It's a great look.
It is a really, really good look. Drink responsibly, but it is a good look.
Yes.
The NFC South is where we come to next. Again, this is a cut and dry division for me. 8-15 for the Saints, 4-1 the Falcons, 6-1 the Panthers, and 8-1 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints, as we touched on a little bit earlier on, were controversially knocked out in the NFC Championship game last year. I think there's a good chance they head back to the NFC Championship this year. I think there's no doubt they win the NFC South, and I don't mind 8-15 as a price, really.
Neither do I. I think it's theirs to lose. There's a few people in my office that have sort of made cases for the Falcons. Matt Ryan. Julio Jones had a very underwhelming year last year.
He went ages without getting a TD.
Exactly.
He didn't
score
a touchdown.
The yardage
was there, but he went weeks after weeks without getting a touchdown.
Once a week, 7 or 8, he got his first touchdown, which is not what you expect for him.
I'm pretty sure he started getting touchdowns the moment I picked up Calvin Ridley. off the waiver, almost the second that I did that, Julio's mind was like, I'm going to get some touchdowns.
Let's mess Sam's fantasy up for the season.
But it was like week 7 as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that the Saints have got the formula down from last season. They're essentially bringing back the same team as last year. They've got Drew Brees. He's another year older, but he was still very good last year. Alvin Kamara, I think, is another stud that they've got. And then they just have more than enough weapons. Obviously, they've re-upped Michael Thomas, who's now the highest paid receiver of all time. I think he'll have a big year as well, prove that he's worth that money. So I think 8-15 is a good price for the Saints. But if you're looking for the outside bet, the Falcons is the one to go for, because I don't think the Panthers are going to... They can't be worse than they were last year, because there was a few injury issues for Cam Newton. But I think they'll definitely improve.
Okay. On to a couple of, for me, tricky divisions betting-wise. The NFC East is where we start. The Eagles are 10-11 in this. 13-10 for the Cowboys. The Redskins are 17-2. The Giants are 12-1. Obviously, the Eagles, Super Bowl winners from a couple of years ago. They made their choice to stick with Carson Wentz. Nick Foles has obviously departed to pastures new. I suppose Carson Wentz, in a not dissimilar fashion to Deshaun Watson for me, had that injury, came back and just didn't quite kick on in the manner that I thought he would. This is a really tricky betting proposition, but I'm not sure I could back the Eagles at an odds-on price. I think I'd have to go for the Cowboys, partly by default, partly by Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, the issue I've got for the Cowboys is that issue with Zeke Elliott. Are they going to pay him? Is there going to be that cloud hanging over the team as well? Because let's be honest, drama does cause unrest in the locker room. It can affect the play. And when you've only got 16 games, if you get offered to a bad start, I mean, I know they've got the easiest game, arguably, of week one. They're the shortest price for week one of the regular season. But if you get off to a poor start, it's hard to make up the ground. I mean, admittedly, it's not a great price for the Eagles, but as a pick, that's who I would pick. The price 10-11, you'd probably want maybe at least even money, but the price is what we've got at 10-11, but I'd still be taking the Eagles to win the division.
Okay. It's an interesting point you make about Zeke there, obviously, you know.
Because they paid Dak. I'm pretty sure they paid Dak. Yeah. And the argument is they don't want to pay a running back, because obviously they have a shorter shelf life. They're not necessarily worth the money at the back end of those contracts. So whether that will play out throughout the season, we don't know, because obviously they've still got Amari Cooper. They've still got Prescott, who I don't think is a good enough caliber to get you anywhere, really.
Because
every time that I watch him, every time he's played the big game, he's been so underwhelming, so poor. The one that sticks out to me last year is when they played the Titans at Cowboys Stadium. It was Amari Cooper's first game. They should have won that game easy, and just he really was. It was a damp squib performance from him. So I'd just take the Eagles. Wentz to have a comeback year from that down year last year from the injury. So I think the Eagles are the pick for me.
And lastly, the NFC West, where the Rams are the 8-15 favourites. The Seahawks are 100-30. The Niners are 9-2, and the Cardinals are 20-1. Again, as we said right at the top of the podcast, the Rams are obviously a bit of a tricky team to assess this year as regards the running game, Todd Gurley, the situation there. But defensively, they're very, very good, as indeed they were last year. They're arguably personnel-wise the best defence in the NFL last year. And in Aaron Donald, they've got an absolute superstar. I treat them with trepidation for the postseason, the Rams, this year. But I think they've probably got enough to win this division.
I'd say the same, to be honest. that'd be the way I look at it. They can win the division. Whether they make enough noise in the playoffs is another argument. I mean, you've got two competitive teams behind them. Obviously, the Niners were all built up and ready to go last season and were absolutely ravaged by injury.
Yes,
Jimmy G going down. Their first-round pick running back, I think, as well, went down in the first week of preseason last year. He's now fit and healthy. And then can the Seahawks progress? Obviously, they have Russell Wilson. They made the first. They made the big pick of DK Metcalf in the draft. But in terms of, I think, in terms of the more exciting bet for this would probably be who finished second in the division, to be honest. Because you've got a wide-open race, I think, there between the Niners and the Seahawks. The Seahawks probably are the better team, but if you fancy the Niners to get back to the track that they were on, I mean, to finish second, Seahawks are 6-4 to finish second. The Niners are 15-8, so the 15-8 is a good price, I think, to finish second.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The Niners 15-8 do offer you a bit of value there to finish second in that division. And as I say, don't forget you can acker all these up, so you can select as many division winners as you want. You can go for the straight eightfold if you want, and you can accumulate all of these and play the various multiples on the division winners. I suppose onto the conferences then next. We've dropped through some of our picks. AFC winner first of all.
Well, if I've got to follow my Super Bowl bets, it's got to be the Colts 8-1. I think that's a very, very good price. What we've got in terms of the all their rivals, the Browns, the Chargers. So you've got Patriots are 3-1 favs, Chiefs are 7-2, and after that you've got the Chargers at 6s, Browns at 7-1, Colts 8-1, Steelers at 12s, and then it goes on and upwards from there. In terms of, I think, because you can as well go each way betting on this, so we've got
Place
1 and 2 at half odds. So
make the championship game.
Make the championship game, yep. So I'd say even if you wanted to do that for the Colts, 8-1, take them each way. I reckon they've got everything that you need to get to the championship game. I'd take the Colts 8-1 because we don't want to be boring and pick the Patriots at 3s.
And I'll have to stick with my Super Bowl pick as well and go for the Browns. But I'm annoyed that they're 7-1 and the Colts are 8-1 when the pair of them are 14s for the Super Bowl.
That's all based on on the money we've taken so far. So the Colts have been the less fancied team to win the AFC amongst the bettors so far. The Chargers have been well backed so far this season.
Yeah, 6-1.
So obviously they're the same odds as the Colts and the overall betting, but they've been well fancied on the AFC.
And the NFC then, the Rams and the Saints are 9-2, 7-1 for the Eagles, 15-2 for the Bears, 10-1 and bigger the rest. I'll probably be a bit boring here and play with a straight bat and probably go for the Saints at 9-2. You've obviously got a sneaky feeling for Chicago. Would you play them in this betting?
I think you're right. I think the AFC Championship game will probably be the Bears and the Saints. That'd be my way too early prediction. So the Saints at 9-2 and the Bears at 15-2. But again, it's some interesting prices. Outside of that, if you fancy an underdog, it seems a bit more clear cut. Obviously, in this, you've got a two horse race to reach the end. Neither of us really fancy the Rams to win it, based upon the issues that we've highlighted in terms of health, in terms of is their offense. Obviously, a regular season offense is very good. Is that going to translate into the postseason? We don't know. So I fancy the Bears at 15-2, and you would probably take the Saints at 9-2.
Yeah, I think so. But I suppose just the very presence of the Rams in the betting helps our selections become a better price, in as we found it easy enough to toss the Rams in that particular market. As I say, there are absolutely stacks of markets to get involved with. Going forward for the NFL, loads and loads of betting available. We'd be here all day if we went through all of them. Want to touch on the MVP market, though. 9-2 favourite Patrick Mahomes. Andrew Luck is 15-2. 10-1 Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Baker Mayfield and Tom Brady all 14-1. 16s for Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson is 18-1. 25-1 and bigger prices the rest. For the regular season MVP, you've got a couple of picks in this market.
So basically, I've got a shorter betting odds. So I would take as the shorter odds Andrew Luck at 15-2. I think the Colts are going to take that next step. If they live up to what we expect they can do and be one of the top two seeds and potentially get the bye week for the playoffs, then I think he could run away with the MVP in terms of his sheer numbers. He could do what Mahomes did last year for the Chiefs on offense. But on a longer pick, for longer odds, we're going to go defense and we're going to pick Aaron Donald. 66-1 he is with us, which is a great price. Obviously, history tells us that defensive players don't win NFL MVP. But the thing is, the argument for that is, if the Rams have a great regular season again, he is the best player on that team. Mm. I know there's always a skew towards offense, but there's such a great focus on him on defense. The numbers that he generates and the sheer presence he gives them is unparalleled. Khalil Mack's the only one who even comes close to it.
Yep.
And even then, he doesn't have the same impact that Donald does in terms of just sheer movement. Mack's a monster on the rush, but Donald can do seemingly everything on defense. He's what J.J. Watt was a few years ago,
yeah.
But he has a better team than what J.J. Watt did for the Texans when he was in his absolute dominant prime. So at 66-1, that would be my outside bet. It is a punt, so it's not worth you absolutely throwing the kitchen sink at it. I reckon it's worth, if you wanted a casual few quid on it, that would be the play. But for my short odds pick, it'd be Andrew Luck.
Mm. 15-2 for Andrew Luck, and Aaron Donald is 66-1. As I say, do check out all the NFL betting. Well worth doing so, because there is loads and loads of different markets going on. If you click American football, you'll obviously see all the main markets there. Click competitions on the left-hand side of the page, and you'll be able to see some of the player props that we've got going on, and obviously those to finish second and third in the divisions, etc., etc. Before we wrap up, I want to touch on the MLB as well, because we're getting a clearer view now, I think, of what the postseason is going to look like. And the World Series betting, we've got a couple of teams that have kind of pulled away from the pack a little bit. The LA Dodgers are 11-4. The Houston Astros are 14-5. The Yankees are 4-1. The Braves are 9-1. It's 16s and bigger the rest. Each way betting here, a half the odds place 1 and 2. So the Dodgers and the Astros beginning to pull a little way clear of the rest of the field. Have they both impressed you over the course of the summer? I know you've obviously watched and traded plenty of baseball this summer.
In terms of the Dodgers, arguably they've got their division, they've run away with it, and it's all but wrapped up already. It's a case of overall they've got a good balance between offense and defense. Their offense is, I think, their strongest suit in the National League. Obviously, once again, the World Series will be at the American League because of the crazy way that they do. I still think they do it anyway. Whichever side out of the AL and the NL wins the MLB All-Star Game gets to host the gets home field advantage in the World Series.
Is that right?
Yeah. Why that works that way, I have no idea. But that's the way they do it until they change it so that the top seed gets it. But I still think, in terms of, it depends on where you look in Vegas. In Vegas, it's some places a pick, some places one favorite, one either. We've got the Dodgers slight favs at 11-4. But I think the Astros are my pick at the minute to win the World Series. They've just acquired Zach Greinke, so they've got three gun pitchers. They just keep churning them out. They acquired Justin Verlander, who at the minute is one of the favourites to win the AL Cy Young. They've got Gerrit Cole, who's had a fantastic year for them, and Zach Greinke. So they've got a top-end pitching rotation for the playoffs that I think is unmatched. They've got the best record in the AL as well at the minute. So I think, between those two, they're the main ones. If you bet them at the start of the season, so at the start of the year, the Dodgers were 7-1, just outside the big three in the AL, which were the Astros and the Yankees were joint fav with the Red Sox. Unfortunately, the Red Sox are nowhere, so my preseason prediction was garbage as per usual. but the Yankees are now from sixes into fours, and the Astros have moved from sixes into 14 to 5, so it's a decent move inwards. In terms of when you look at the AL winning bets, but in fact, they mirror each other, the league winners. So both teams are 11-10, the Astros and the Dodgers, to win their respective divisions, which I think is a good price. If you want to go in the NL and you think they're going to be overthrown, it's a better option to go for the outsider, I think. But for these two, I think it's a good, for those two to reach the World Series, if you want to double them up, it would be 12-4, 12-5. So it's more than worth it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So the pair of them, 11-10. And again, these are markets that you can double up your selections in with the Astros at 14-5, just about Stephen's pick for the World Series. And just before we conclude the baseball, most divisions are settled now, but there's a couple that still have life in them. Bets in the divisions?
In terms of that, so you've got the AL Central and the NL Central, both have a race that's left to be run, basically.
Yes.
The rest of them, the NL West is, the Dodgers are 500 on, so if you want to lump your money on, in that case, that's an option. But NL East is, the Braves are 1-5, so they're short fouls. I don't see them getting caught. NL West, same with the Astros, they're 100 on. The Yankees are 40 on. So in terms of the competitive divisions, you've got the NL Central, which the Cubs are favs at the minute. At the time of recording, they're 1-2, of which the Cardinals and the Brewers are chasing them down. The Cardinals are 7-2 and the Brewers are 4-1. I think the Cubs will just hold on, so 1-2 is not a bad price, but baseball can change on a daily basis. You only need to lose five games, or if you had a straight head-to-head, this is the time of year when the sides play each other a lot in their respective divisions. So if you had a sweep for the Cardinals against the Cubs, that will massively change the odds. So it's something to be keeping an eye on. And in the AL Central, at the minute, we don't have the odds up on the website. But when I checked them the other night, the Twins were favs at 4-9. The Indians were the dogs at 6-4, chasing them down. I think there's a chance the Indians can catch them, but it's up to you whether you think they're going to have enough firepower to get in. Obviously, they'll make the playoffs in terms of through the wild card, but this is purely based on who you think will win the divisions.
Okay, good stuff. That's the MLB. We'll reconvene in a few weeks' time. We've obviously got the new NBA season to talk about at some stage, but free agency has been so crazy it feels like we need to dedicate an entire podcast just to reminding ourselves of who's gone where, because I've not seen an off season like it in any sport.
No.
It's been ludicrous.
I was in on the night when free agency started and we were all glued to Twitter waiting for the Woj bombs and the Shams.
Yeah.
Just for all the notifications to come through. It was a crazy night. So we will come back and review all of that madness from the summer.
Indeed. Looking forward to that. Thank you very much, Stephen, and enjoy the NFL season.
Will do. Pleasure as always.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.